It's Sunday, the 3rd of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Doug McDermott, and Nikola Pekovic. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Grindfather9. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast just like Grindfather9, it's very straightforward. Just leave a review on iTunes. That's all it takes. So thank you to Grindfather9 and everyone else who has done that so far. Also, make sure you're checking out moneyball.com.au. They are Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. Go on there, join the tournaments, win some money, hopefully. I'm pretty confident you can win some money on there. Get involved with Moneyball. They do run a great contest every single day, and not just NBA. But we're running Big Bash, A League, EPL. What else are we on? NFL, of course, AFL, Rugby League when that gets up as well. So a lot of Australian sports as well as the international stuff too on Moneyball. All right, so today, guys, there was a lot to get to. You know what's happening now.
Let's get to it.
Exactly. The monstrous line of the night. I could not go any other way apart from Draymond Green. He played 44 minutes in the Warriors' overtime victory against the Denver Nuggets. He had 29 points, 17 rebounds, 14 assists, 5 three-pointers, 4 steals, a block on 10 of 16 shooting. I can't believe how good this guy is. Seriously, he was good last year. He was fantastic last year. He's a legit first team All NBA player this year. He is a guaranteed All Star. If he's not an All Star, there's something wrong. He is unbelievable. He is just amazing. What he is doing this season is absolutely incredible. His last 2 weeks of action: 18.7 points, 11.5 rebounds, 8.5 assists, 2.5 threes, 1.8 steals, 1.2 blocks. Those numbers are out of control. He's putting up such tremendous value. It is fantastic to see a guy who is not only, you know, their second best player, but also their emotional, you know, leader and spiritual leader, and a guy who just goes, get on my back, we're doing this, and then puts up the stats as well for fantasy. He's just doing amazing things. So Draymond was obviously instrumental in the victory over the Nuggets. He started the team off well. I think he hit 3 or 4 triples in the first quarter. Really, really strong season from Draymond, and it feels like every game he gets better, which is an amazing thing to say for a guy who, you know, just signed himself a huge contract and is playing well. And then every game, it's just something better from Draymond. So amazing stuff from him. The young gun of the night is also the waiver wire line of the night. It is one of my boys, Rod Hood of the Utah Jazz. Another overtime game. Hood played 44 minutes. He dropped a career-high 32 points. He also hit 5 threes, had 8 rebounds, a steal and a block, and went 10 of 20 from the field, and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He's been turning it up of late. There was a massive chance he was going to do that when Alec Burks went out. The first couple of games wasn't quite there, but definitely turning it up now. He is inside the top 80 over the last 2 weeks, and that's with him shooting only 39% from the field. A 16-point average, 2.3 triples, 4.5 rebounds, giving you 2 assists, a steal, and half a block as well. Absolutely a must-own player, yet he's only owned in about 41% of leagues. So make sure that you're owning Rod Hood at the moment. He's doing a little bit of everything. He's not just a three-point specialist guy. He is doing a little bit of everything. He gets your rebounds. He'll have 4 or 5 assists in some games. He's stealing. He's blocking. The field goal percentage is a worry, but you know, if that fits your team, look at it. But everything else is fantastic. A great free-throw shooter as well, Rod Hood. The dud of the night. Had a few options in this one, and they're all from the same team, but I went with Victor Oladipo. One game after putting up a really nice line, Oladipo played 14 minutes. He had 6 points and 2 assists on 3 of 11 shooting. I said let's not get too excited yesterday about his return to form and his big night, and that seems well-founded. Not a good night for him. It wasn't all him. It was obviously something to do with Scott Skiles and the way that he butchered the rotation yet again, with limiting Oladipo, Alfred Payton, and Nick Vucevic all to under 17 minutes, which is it's criminal, in my opinion. It shouldn't be happening. Yes, they got smashed, but especially on a guy who's not in form, play him into form. You know my thoughts on Scott Skiles, and they have been winning But it is not long-term sustainable, the way that he treats players or the way that he deals with things. It's like he's selling out for cheap wins now, and they're not necessarily cheap wins, and they're going all right, but it's not going to amount to anything in the future. And this sort of stuff, he's very quick on putting guys in doghouses and limiting minutes, and it pisses me off no end. Now today, instead of doing the daily fantasy value play of the day, what I mentioned on yesterday's podcast that I was considering doing is looking at the top scoring optimal lineup from the day's play and seeing what we can get out of looking at that. So I've done that. I'm going to brief you watching on video. You can see that I'm bringing that up on the screen. This would have been Saturday's, I said, winning lineup here. Perfect lineup is probably better. At point guard, this is for FanDuel scoring and salaries. Norris Cole put up 39.4 points. Austin Rivers went for 29.9. So there's two massive bargains at point guard, and there's pretty much no way you could have had both of those guys in a lineup. At shooting guard, Will Barton got 46.1. We know that Will Barton is almost a guy you've got to look at playing pretty much every night, and Rod Hood's been providing tremendous value. He's the other shooting guard, 43.6. So he was a guy that should have been on quite a few rosters. At small forward, that's where the big money was. Kevin Durant put up 50.2 points, and Paul George went 48.3. And both those guys had been slumping a little bit lately, but they turned it on here. Power forward, obviously Draymond Green with 77.4 was the highest scoring player of the night. And then Boris Diaw chimed in with 35.6 against the Spurs. That is a complete just guess. See what happens, because we know the Spurs are going to blow out the Rockets and maybe Diaw gets some run. And the center, Brook Lopez, 48.6. He had a great game against the Celtics. All that would have totaled 419.1. Very, very tough to get. Now, Norris Cole was a guy to look at, and I mentioned him yesterday. Austin Rivers was trending up. This is the thing, looking at this lineup, it's a mixture of guys who are trending up, like Cole and Rivers, but guys who are also trending down, like Durant and Hood, and it's really hard to, not Hood, Durant and George, who hadn't been putting up that sort of value. And then there's the Diaw pick, which is a complete stab in the dark one. But even if you didn't have Diaw in there and had someone else at that power forward spot, you still would have had a lineup approaching 400 points. It's all about getting the right thing. So look at that thing. You know, Cole had pushed himself. And if you had known that the news of Tyreek Evans being out, you definitely would have gotten Norris Cole in there at 4,000. Austin Rivers getting that extra run with Blake Griffin out as well and scoring pretty well in the last couple of games. Yeah, Barton and Hood we know about. Durant and George, you can get them in and see how they work out. Draymond was a great play, and he was helped by the fact that Steph Curry did not last the game, and Brook Lopez was a pretty decent play. So I hope you guys got something out of that. I'm gonna do that on each day now. Go back and look at the perfect lineup from the day before and see what sort of information we can get out of that. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Now what we're gonna do is we're gonna look at these games in just that little bit of extra detail as we go through these 11 box scores. And hopefully we're able to get some value out of it for your fantasy team perspective. The first game of the night wasn't even the night, really. It was more like the late afternoon. The Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. Touched on Brook Lopez, had a big daily fantasy game. 30-13 for him with a steal and a block. A big game. He is absolutely on fire at the moment, as is Thad Young. 16-10 for Young in 33 minutes. Not his greatest shooting night, though, Young. 7 of 16 from the field. Joe Johnson also had a big night. 20 points, two threes, a rebound, two assists. And I think the reason to have a little bit of optimism in Joe Johnson is the injury to Jarrett Jack. Now, Jarrett Jack suffered a knee injury, a non-contact knee injury in the open court, where his knee buckled. The Nets are calling it a sprain. I'm calling that bullshit. He said he was never been in that much pain in his life. It's not good when you're just running in a straight line and your knee just gives way. That is not, you know, it doesn't look like a sprain to me. So Jarrett Jack could be looking at extended time on the sidelines. And if he's out for the season, I wouldn't be shocked at all. So someone's going to have to pick up the scoring load. It might be Bogdanovich. He had 13 points and 6 rebounds. It might be Johnson, who had his best night in quite a long time. The other guy to look at here is Shane Larkin. I've added him in every one of my leagues that I could. He only played 24 minutes here and he only took 3 shots. But the value in Shane Larkin is getting assists and getting steals. He's at about 7.5, I think, assists per 36 minutes this year. He's at about 2.5 steals. Now, he's probably not going to get 30 minutes, but 27 to 30 minutes, or he's probably not going to get 36 minutes, but 27 to 30 minutes is probably a reasonable estimation of what sort of run he's going to get if Jack remains out long term. And getting 6 assists and 2 steals, maybe with 10 points, maybe with a 3 off the waiver wire, you can't just find that. It's not easy to find. So I would be looking at adding Shane Larkin wherever you can. He was putting up top 100 value before his concussion as a backup. And if he's going to be the primary guy, because let's face it, Donald Sloan's useless, Larkin is going to play 30 minutes most likely. He could be 12-3-6 with two steals, and that's fantastic. And then it might also help Bogdanovic and Johnson as well. So they're the winners of the Jarrett Jack injury, as morbid as it sounds to say that someone's benefiting from a guy, you know, potentially affecting his career, Jarrett Jack, because he's old and he's not good. And if it's an ACL, that could spell a real big problem for Jarrett Jack. But those other guys will benefit from a fantasy point of view. Wayne Ellington will probably get a little bit more look as well. 23 minutes for him, 5 points and 6 rebounds. He's still a deep league guy. And Donald Sloan played 8 minutes, and he gets relevance now for deeper leagues as that point guard who might be able to get you two or three assists in, say, a 16-team league, that sort of spot. So definitely things changing in Brooklyn with that potential injury, but obviously we still need to wait and see what the situation is with Jack. But if I'm putting my money on it, and I have because I've gone all in on Larkin in a lot of leagues, and it might not work out. I might have to drop him in quite a few of those. But if my money's on Jarrett Jack having an extended absence here. For the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas was great again. 24-2-6, 2 threes, 2 steals. A good night there. And Jay Crowder continues his pretty good form. 16-7, 2 threes and 2 steals. He's definitely surprised me, Crowder. He's not someone who I thought was going to be able to maintain this rate. And the steals is definitely his biggest draw card. But he's scoring a bit more now. He's hitting some threes. He's getting some boards. He's doing real well. As for the centers, Jared Sullinger lasted 18 minutes in this one. 7 points, 4 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Not his greatest night, and that allowed Amir Johnson to play extra. Johnson played 29 and went 7-11 with 2 blocks. He's creeping into standard league consideration, but the front court rotation is still a mess. Kelly Olynyk played just 12 minutes. Jonas Jerebko played 16 minutes. David Lee played 10 minutes. Tyler Zeller played 7 minutes. And the Celtics lost to the Nets. Just play your best players, Brad Stevens. It is very straightforward. Amir Johnson and Kelly Olynyk and Jared Sullinger, they're your best three big guys. Play them correctly. I don't have any influence over that, clearly. If Olynyk gains 12 minutes, there's no point holding on. I would hold on another game to see how it goes. But if I had to drop Kelly Olynyk to grab Shane Larkin, I'm okay with that. Avery Bradley hurt his hip. He only lasted 11 minutes. If he's out, Marcus Smart is going to get a bump in value. And Smart looked good here. 24 minutes, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals. You own Smart for the steals, the three-pointers, and the rebounds and assists. So I think without Bradley, he should be able to get himself back up to 30 minutes and will probably re-enter the starting lineup if Bradley has to miss any time. So just make sure if Smart is on a waiver wire, he's another guy to add. Probably, well, it depends on what you need. If you want sort of some more rebounds and more three-pointers, Smart is going to be the guy over Larkin. But if it just came down to, you know, had someone said pick, I'd pick Smart over Larkin. Just because I think that overall he's obviously the better player and hopefully he can force his way into playing time, whereas Larkin's going to be given playing time. Evan Turner's also going to see a bump. 37 minutes for Turner, 12-7-3. That's if Bradley has to miss any more time, which you'd think that he's going to miss a little bit of time. The Phoenix Suns and the Sacramento Kings, this is just brutal. Looking at this, it's great for fantasy, 119 to 142, but to let 142 points into the Sacramento Kings, I think the Paul Coro, the Suns beat reporter, tweeted out that for the whole second half, the Suns didn't manage consecutive stops on defense, which is just abysmal. Let's look at what they did, though, stats-wise. Devin Booker was great, 42 minutes for him, 21, 3 assists, 4 steals, 2 threes. Make sure he's owned. Same with PJ Tucker, who only scored 5 points but had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, and 1 3. He's not going to be the points guy. So if you want someone to get points, it's TJ Warren and it's DJ Booker. Try again. Not DJ Booker. TJ Warren and Devin Booker. They're the guys for points. If you want defensive numbers, steals, blocks, rebounds, PJ Tucker's the guy to get. Now, Warren was also pretty good here. 19-5-4. No threes, no steals, and went 9 of 19 from the field. We know what his strengths are. Their points and their field goal percentage. But all of these guys, Warren, Tucker, and Booker, should all be owned because the Suns are just going super small. Tyson Chandler got ejected after 12 minutes. So Alex Len played 6. 6 minutes. Way to develop your young guys. John Lua played 17 minutes. Mirza Teletovic played 27. And then they just went small, getting Tucker, Booker, and Warren playing the four. Well, not Booker, mainly Tucker and Warren playing the four. So they went real small. So if you're owning Len and you couldn't get minutes when Tyson Chandler got ejected, you can forget about that. John Lua's a guy that I dropped today in a 10-team league. If no Markieff Morris is around and no Tyson Chandler is getting 17 minutes and they're giving so much run, which they've done over the last 3 games to these wing players, hard to really consider owning him as well. This team is a mess. I know they fired their assistants, but I feel there's no way that Hornacek lasts through the end of January. It is just very, very bad. Brandon Knight was pretty good though. 23-5-5, a 3 and a steal, and quite efficient 9-17 from the field. On the Kings side of things, Boogie Cousins, 32-9, hit a 3, had 2 steals, and a welcome return to big percentages. 11-15 from the field, 9-11 from the free throw line, and only 1 turnover. Rajon Rondo was big too, 15-6-15. But that didn't stop Darren Collison having a huge game. 21 points for Collison, 6 assists, 2 threes. Collison is a must-own player. He's inside the top 100 even in this backup role, and we know that the top 50 or top 40 is within sight if he happens to get the starting job, if something happens to Rondo. Rudy Gay was alright, 16-3-2, 3 steals and a block, so nice defensive numbers. Willie Cauley-Stein returned from his finger fracture. He played just 5 minutes, but the one thing that bothers me is that it took 5 minutes off Omri Caspi, who played just 29, and he was still good, 13-7, 2 threes and a steal. Caspi's still a must-own, because Carl really likes Caspi, and he likes what he does. Cauley-Stein is not someone I'm running to go and pick back up in any set standard league, maybe a 16-team league, that's it, but Just keep an eye on what happens with Caspi. Marco Bellinelli had a big game, 19 points with a couple of threes, but he's still just a deeper league option. The next game, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Charlotte Hornets. Kevin Durant went 29-11. He had 3 triples and also blocked 4 shots, and he was really efficient as well. 8-13 from the field and 10-11 from the free throw line. A good Kevin Durant game. Not so good from Russ Westbrook. 4-15 from the field, not his greatest night there. 16-6-7 with a 3 and a steal, so still had some pretty good value, but definitely not if you're spending that $11,000 on him in DFS. And Steven Adams played just 17 minutes, but he went 8-9 with 3 blocks. He's not a real 12-team league guy. He's a deeper 12, and he's a spot start for certain team builds in that sort of depth format, but he can put up stats on occasion. It's just not consistent enough. Serge Ibaka also had 4 blocks, and you know our team's really getting block happy when Enes Kanter has 3. He went 12-4 in his 24 minutes, and just continuing, just giving you these games where you go, yeah, he's got value for a 12-team league, and then it'll be a bad one, then it'll be 2 solid ones. He's owned in too many leagues, I think, but it is hard to give up on what he's able to do, but the minutes are just not there. He's just not going to approach 30 minutes, and that if there's someone else out there, I think you can move on because he's going to be very up and down, but you know, obviously weighted on your team. Still no DJ Augustine. Cameron Payne has definitely taken that role off him. 20 minutes for Payne. 7-3-3 with a steal. You know, I love campaign. He's putting up some pretty decent numbers, and just you can stream him in on a weekend. If you want assists, you're going to get 3 or 4 out of him in limited minutes. That could be useful. So I'm a big fan of Cameron Payne, and another big night for him here. Shockingly enough, Andre Robertson scored 0 points. The Charlotte Hornets, Kemba Walker, just continues to just bludgeon teams. 32-3-5, 3 steals, a block, and a 3. Just a real breakout season from Kemba. There was no Nick Batum in this one. He was out with that sprained toe. So Marvin Williams moved down and played a lot of small forward. He wasn't good. 4 points and 8 rebounds with 2 blocks. He is not a must-hold guy to me. But Jeremy Lin did return. 34 minutes for Lin, 15 points, 4 assists, and a 1-1. I reckon Lin should be owned in most 12-team leagues. He's definitely putting up some pretty nice value. Cody Zeller got limited by foul trouble here. Just 23 minutes for him. 7-4 with a block. Had those 4 fouls in 23 minutes, and that allowed Frank Kaminsky to get extra run. Now, Kaminsky played 33, just 6-6, with 2 of 11 shooting, so not his greatest night. Obviously, I'm prioritizing Zeller over Kaminsky, but Kaminsky has some intrigue for, say, a 14-team league format, maybe a 12, but probably not. The Detroit Pistons and the Indiana Pacers is the next game we're going to take a look at. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 16-10, but not much else, and from the Pistons' side of things, it was not a great night. Andre Drummond went 11-18 and had 2 blocks. Hurt you in both percentages. Ersan Ilyasova played 32 minutes, so that's great, and he should be owned everywhere too. 12-7 for him with a steal on some pretty subpar shooting. Brandon Jennings played 19 minutes, 4-2-3. He's obviously working himself back in. It's going to take a little bit of time. And Reggie Jackson was down under 30 for the second consecutive game. He did roll his ankle at the end of the game, but he stayed in and was able to play through it. 29 minutes for Jackson, 12-3-5, 2 threes and a steal. If you can sell extremely high on him, I might consider it, but I don't think that these 2 games are indicative that Jackson is going to be a 28-minute guy moving forward. I think over the season, he's only playing 31 minutes anyway, and it's not like he's gone down from 35 to 28 or anything like that. I think that this is just a little bit of variance in games that were over pretty quickly like this one was. and you know, just get Jennings out there and try and run him a little bit. I'm convinced that Jackson will get back to that 30-31 mark and hopefully start putting up the numbers that we saw at the start of the season. Onto the Pacers, Paul George, 32-14, 4 threes, 3 assists a steal. That's 2 good ones in a row for George, so hopefully he's back in business. And George Hill, 18 points and 4 rebounds. He has he's picked it up over the last probably 2 weeks or so after a pretty slow start to the year. There was the return of Jordan Hill and Jan Mahimi. Hill played 22 minutes. Mahimi played 16 minutes. Lavoie Allen played 21. And that means that Miles Turner just got 10 minutes. Now, Turner will probably start to get a few more minutes as the season goes on. But those guys, Allen, Mahimi, and Hill, have been providing pretty nice value for the Pacers for most of the season. So don't be shocked if Turner doesn't become a 12-team league guy at all this year. Just because there are just so many other guys around here who are giving them usable minutes. CJ Miles, not his greatest night, just 8 points, but he did chime in with 2 blocks and a steal, and he's still a 12-team league guy. Oh, this next game. Jeez, the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Nick Vucevic played 13 minutes. Channing Frye played 13 minutes. Lord Alfred Payton played 16. Victor Oladipo played 14. Toby Harris played 22. Evan Fournier played 28. All you can get out of this game is that Scott Skiles is insane, and that Aaron Gordon played 25 minutes for the third consecutive game. 11-7 with 2 assists and a 3. The upside is there, but again, this is such a blowout. What does it mean? Is Gordon going to continue a 25-minute role, or is this just Skiles being a dick? I don't know what it means, but if you've got a spare spot, grabbing Gordon is not terrible, and just seeing how the next 3 or 4 games play out. Because if he's in a 25-26-minute role, he's going to be useful. If he's in an 18-minute role, there's plenty of other guys I would prefer. Trying to read what Skiles is going to do, though, is basically impossible. So don't try to predict too much based on that. And one thing you can predict is if they get smashed, their guys just get sat and they just don't play. If the game's close, they'll play 37 minutes. And it's much like what I spoke about yesterday with Nikola Mirotic. We can't know that in advance. We don't know if Mirotic is going to hit his first 2 shots and play 35 minutes. We don't know if the Magic are going to lose by 40 and then have their guys play 15 minutes. We can't know. And it's extremely frustrating, I'm sure, to the players and to Magic fans at times as well. So if you're a Magic fan, let me know what you think. Are you happy that Skiles is getting wins? Or are you happy that he's fucking around with these young stars who are potentially on the team who could be developing? I'd like to know what you think. On the Cavs, LeBron James, 29, 5, and 3, 4 triples, 2 steals. He only played 29 minutes. That was the most on the team. Again, they smashed them. James Jones played 18 minutes. That's how you know it was a thrashing. Don't read too much into anything in this game in regards to rotations or minutes or anything like that. It was just not good if you happen to play any of these guys in DFS. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Giannis Antetokounmpo lost a tooth, but he came back in and played 30 minutes. 11-9, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a 3. And Greg Monroe had probably one of his better games, but his minutes are still not there. 27 minutes for Monroe, 19-10 with 2 steals. Since he came back from that injury, he just can't get back to that 33-34-minute mark. Pretty weird. Michael Carter-Williams had one of the weirdest stat lines that we've seen. He went 5.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. He had 1 field goal make. And what was the other thing that he did? He did something else where he had 4 free throw attempts. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I know it's a little bit of a crowbar to get that into a pattern, but still, a real usable stat line for fantasy anyway, even though he only went 1 of 7 from the field. But 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks is pretty decent. John Henson had a good night, 15-4 in 21 minutes with a block, but we know the story with him. The minutes are just not reliable. Tell you what else is not reliable, Jabari Parker. 12-6 in 35 minutes. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later, but he's just not doing enough for me to be a must-own player. OJ Mayo completely lost his shit in this game. Played 3 minutes, got ejected for 2 technicals. I had the game on, and then I turned around to do something. And next minute, I looked up, and it looked like he was punching on with his teammates. It looked like him and Chris Middleton were fighting. I thought, what the hell is going on here? And then I realized that they were trying to restrain him because he was losing his mind, and he was running back onto the court and confronting people, and the coaches had to escort him off. He just lost his shit. He's probably going to get suspended. That enabled Jared Bayless to play 32 minutes here. And Bayless went 13-5-2 with 3 triples. Don't think that the 32 minutes is something that's necessarily going to stick because, 7 of those minutes will go to Mayo. And some of Rashad Vaughn's minutes will go to Mayo. So I don't think Bayless is stuck in that 30-minute role. So don't look at it and go, oh, Bayless, 32 minutes. That's good. Now, He's still been pretty good, but I don't think he's a 12-team league guy. Chris Middleton cooled off a bit, 13, 4, and 5. Still had 3 triples, and the 5 assists are really handy for him. Onto the Timberwolves, Ricky Rubio, again, just really getting it done here. I think I read a tweet today from someone that he is the only player on a sub-500 team who has a positive net rating. It's a pretty big stat. Rubio played 34 minutes, went 14, 6, and 7, had 3 steals, a block, and 2 triples. That's a very, very good night from him. And Andrew Wiggins was also pretty serviceable, 19 and 6. He even had an assist, and I tweeted this out today, that he had an assist, and it went to Rubio, and Rubio nailed a 3. So completely, two completely odd things going down. Wiggins also contributed 3 steals and a block. The other thing that Wiggins is doing, he's just murdering your percentages at the moment. I don't know what's going on with him. 7 of 17 from the field and 5 of 9 from the free throw line. That is just brutal. If we look at what he's done over the last couple of weeks, he's at 42% from the field on 16 attempts in the last 2 weeks and 63 from the line. That's really, really hurting the percentages. And that was one of the draws of him heading into the season, that he was going to be a big volume free throw guy and he'd get you, you know, maybe close to 80% and help to really boost that category. But instead, he's getting volume and he's just missing them. Been a fair disappointment, I'd say, this season, Andrew Wiggins, in terms of his fantasy value. His play on the court's fine. Kevin Garnett, 4 and 6 in 16 minutes. Don't know why I mentioned him. Carl Anthony Towns, 8 and 10. Not the greatest night for Towns, especially going 4 of 17. But a steal and 3 blocks helped to salvage some of his value. And good to see that. I'm really happy that that Tayshaun Prince played 28 minutes.
Not!
Yeah, 4 points for him, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Why wouldn't you play Tayshaun Prince 28 minutes? Zach LaVine played only 21, and that's 3, I think, or 4 stinkers in a row from him. I would consider dropping him because even though Kevin Martin's out of the rotation, apparently no Kevin Martin means less minutes for Zach LaVine. Work that out. I don't know what it means. Shabazz Muhammad got 26, so that's a good thing. 12 and 4 for Muhammad, but I don't think he's got any value for standard leagues at this point. And Gorgui Dieng has definitely dropped off. 9 and 6 in his 25 minutes. No other stats, but I'd still like to hold on to him. Tyus Jones is also looking pretty solid out there to me. 15 minutes, 6, 4 and 2, and has definitely nailed down that backup point guard job. No more Andre Miller, and no more Zach LaVine playing point guard as well. And that's probably hurting LaVine's fantasy value also. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks. Anthony Davis, just a lazy 31 and 14 with a steal and a block and big percentages. So a good night from him. And what about my boy Norris Cole? 16 and 12, 4 assists, 4 steals, 38 minutes. Of course he played 38 minutes. Why wouldn't you play Norris Cole more minutes than Drew Holiday, who was apparently off restriction? Don't know. I've got no idea. But Norris Cole is trending up. He's getting minutes. I don't believe that he is going to be a standard league guy. But if you're looking for a short-term streaming option, and if Evans is going to miss a couple of games, apparently Elvin Gentry likes Norris Cole, so you can look at it. This is a career high in rebounds for him. He's not a rebounder. He's not an assister. He's not a guy who gets steals. He's not an anything. But it's 3 decent games in a row, so you have to look at it. Drew Holiday was also good, completely all over the box score. 23 and 5, 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. A big night from Drew. Ryan Anderson went 16 and 8 with 2 threes, and Eric Gordon had 16 and 3 with a couple of triples as well. And Alonzo G got himself 25 minutes. And why wouldn't you play Omer Asik 20 minutes and Kendrick Perkins 4 and then not play Alexia Ginser at all? I don't know. I can't work that out myself. On to the Mavericks. Darren Williams lasted 21 minutes, but then he suffered tightness in his hamstring. I would say that's going to cost him some time more, because if you're coming back from a hamstring injury and then hurt that hamstring again, you're not just going to go back out and play the next game. So that means hopefully he held on to JJ Barea, who played 27 minutes here, and that will likely approach 30 in the next game. 10, 7, and 5 with 2 steals and a 3 for Barea. Not his greatest shooting night, but nice stats across the board. Zaza went 14 and 9, had 4 steals and a block, another big night there. And Ray Felton got 26 minutes and went 13, 3, and 3. Don't think that Ray Felton is a 12-team league guy at this point. Dirk dropped 24 with not much else and poor percentages, and Chandler Parsons was terrible. 6 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a 3. And you know, a couple of weeks ago, he was putting up some big numbers. It's definitely dropped off, but I'm not dropping him. I'm definitely holding on to Chandler Parsons, so don't go and make a drop. And if someone does, go and pick him up. The Rockets and the Spurs, pretty easy victory for the Spurs here, but I liked what Clint Capella could do. 26 minutes for Capella, 8 points, but 7 rebounds, a steal, 4 blocks, and 4 of 6 shooting. He's definitely outplaying Terrence Jones. He's definitely outplaying Donatas Motiejunas, who was out of this one with a back issue. And again, he's not going to be for everybody, but he has value in certain team builds. And you can't go past 7 rebounds, a steal, and 4 blocks, plus 67%. And it's not going to happen every night, but overall, the value he gives you, basically a steal and a block guy, a bit over that, is enough for 12-team leagues, I think. James Harden, yeah, he got Kawhi, 17 points, only took 10 shots, 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. And Trevor Ariza, 10 points with 3 assists and 2 steals as well. Ty Lawson played 18 minutes, while Patrick Beverley got 31. Lawson did dish 6 assists with a steal, and you know, Seth was big on adding Ty Lawson the other day. I'm not as excited about doing that, but getting 6 assists in 20 minutes is useful, so I can understand the rationale there. Dwight went 22-12 and also destroyed your free throw percentage, going 6 of 17. And Beverley in those 31 minutes went 10-5-7 with a 3 and a steal. So that's borderline 12-team league value, but not a must-own. Terrence Jones continues to be bad, 8-2-3 in his 27 minutes, and he's just not a good NBA player. I can't be convinced that he's good. On to the San Antonio Spurs.
Great success.
Danny Green, 18 points, 6 triples, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. This is the Danny Green that we saw plenty of times last season. This is the Danny Green we've seen once in 35 games this year. The potential has always been there for him. He played 32 minutes as well, so that's obviously great. But what do you do? He's on some waiver wires. He's only owned in 71% of leagues. He's on some of the wires. Do you go and add him? You know that he's got top 50 potential. You know that he's got double, triple, one potential, and that's 2 threes, 2 steals, 2 blocks, you know, over given stretches of times. He can do that. But he's just been so, so bad this year. This is definitely a great sign, but one game versus 34 games, I'm not rushing out to go and grab him. But if I've got Jared Bayless sitting on my roster, if I've got Zach LaVine sitting on my roster, I'll drop him and I'll go and add Green and see how it happens. And then, because I'm not losing much, but I'm not going and dropping someone who's good to go and get him. Marcus Aldridge is pretty solid here, 24 and 9 with a couple of steals. And I mentioned Boris Diaw before. He went 20-8 with 2 steals and 2 threes. So a big night for him. Kawhi was solid, 22-6 with a couple of threes. And not a lot else. Tony Parker missed all 6 of his shots, and Tim Duncan went scoreless for the first time in his career. 0 points, 4 rebounds in 14 minutes. Parker did have 10 assists and 4 rebounds, though, so yeah, pretty good night there, apart from the scoring. Duncan, not a great night for him. Now, I know people will be tempted to drop him, and I can sort of understand, but I'm still holding, because I think we're going to see some nice Tim Duncan games coming up. But he's not relied upon anywhere near as much with Aldridge there now, and with Dior able to step up as well. So it might be coming to a time where, yeah, Duncan might not become a must-own player. I don't think he's quite there yet, though. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Utah Jazz was another overtime game. Zach Randolph moved to the bench, and Tony Allen got the start. If Randolph is now being benched for 2 separate guys, 8-5 for Randolph in 24 minutes, that's not a good sign for him moving forward. Tony Allen played 36 minutes, went 13-8 with 3 steals and a 3. There's a lot in that line that just screams flukiness. I'm not going and adding him. And Courtney Lee had one of the lines that gets you excited, and then he'll no doubt disappoint. 17 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 2 threes. I'd much rather own Courtney Lee over Tony Allen at this point, but he's a borderline 12-team league guy, especially when Matt Barnes comes back. Jeff Green was terrible, 6-10 in his 44 minutes. Mike Conley, 15-4-4 in 41, and Marc Gasol went 27-4 with 2 blocks. So big lines from their main players. Their bench basically barely got on the court. The only 2 guys off the bench who played double-digit minutes was Randolph with 24 and Mario Chalmers with 12, and no one else really saw action. They'll be pretty glad to get Matt Barnes back, I reckon, for the next game. On to the Jazz. Jeff Withey, another start. 32 minutes for Withey. 12-10, 2 assists, 1 steal, 4 blocks. He's been fantastic since Favors has been out, and he's definitely worth owning until we know that Favors is back. This back issue is obviously still troubling him. You might only be able to get 1 or 2 more games out of Withy, but if they're 12-10s with 4 blocks, who cares if it's 2 games? That's pretty important. Gordon Hayward, not a good night, 14-5-4, and Trevor Booker grabbed 11 rebounds, had 2 blocks, only had 4 points, but played big minutes, and he's still providing that real back-end 12-team league value, replacing Gobert. Trey Burke cooled off, sort of predictably, 3 of 13 for him in 32 minutes, 9 points, and that's something that's going to happen to him quite often because he's never been a reliable shooter. I think that's fair to say. The last game of the night is Denver versus Golden State. Just had someone tweet at me whether I'd spoken about Kenneth Faried. No, I'm just about to talk about him now, though. The Denver Nuggets, we'll start with Kenneth Faried. He played 29 minutes. He went 15-12-4, but he left the game at the end with a very scary neck injury. The Nuggets are concerned, and at this point we don't know details. They're concerned that he suffered a fracture to his vertebrae. No issues with paralysis or anything like that. He was moving around, but they are concerned there is a fracture to his vertebrae. Now, who wins out in terms of fantasy value if Faried goes down? Again, sounds pretty morbid, but it's tough to know. Earlier in the season, it's been Darrell Arthur, but now they can move Nikola Jokic there. They can put Joffrey Lavernier there. Now, Lavernier was a DNP CD in this game. I would think that Arthur will get the bulk of the minutes with Faried out. It's also going to allow Jokic and Nurkic to play together. Now, those two guys combined for less than 10 minutes in this. Sorry, that's not true. Yeah, less than 10 minutes. No, my math isn't working. Let me add that up again. No, 10 minutes and 11 seconds Jokic and Nurkic combined for. That will obviously increase. If I'm adding anyone with Faried out, it's Arthur, and he's the guy that I'm really looking at for DFS. But Jokic should still be held onto. Lavernier, I don't think you need to own. And Nurkic is a guy that hopefully you're able to stash and put him in your IR spot and just leave him there until he starts to get his minutes back up. But it was good to see him back on the court finally. Jameer Nelson with another big game, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 threes. You must keep holding him until Emmanuel Mudiay comes back. And Danilo Gallinari returned. He went 24-6 and had 2 steals and a 3. Good to see him back in action. And Michael Jordan himself, Will Barton, went 21-13, 7 assists, 2 steals, and a 3. He did take 25 shots and go 8 of 25. It's a lot of shots. It's a lot of missed ones as well. And he went 4 of 7 from the free throw line. He played 50 minutes. I don't know what to say about Will Barton anymore. I'm going to buy myself a Will Barton jersey. I'm that in love with him at the moment. After this, I still can't get. He's not a good. I can't get over him being a good player. It doesn't make sense to me, but he is, and he's a top 30 guy at the moment, and that's incredulous to me. Gary Harris, just really sort of stroking the edges of 12 team league value. And I know that phrasing sounded pretty wrong, but that's what he's doing. 39 minutes for Harris, 11 points, a 3, 2 steals. He's worth owning because I think the upside there, it's there for him. It might not work out, and he might just, you know, continue to do this for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and that's putrid. Well, it's not putrid. It's not great, though. But I think the upside is really there for Gary Harris, and it's good to see him getting the minutes and, you know, still getting 12 shots off, even with Gallinari back in the lineup. So that's encouraging. So I do like seeing Harris getting those minutes, and he's someone that I have intrigue for 12 team leagues. Onto the Warriors. I spoke about Draymond already. Klay Thompson was big, 26-7, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 threes. And Ian Clark got red hot, scoring 15 points in 37 minutes. Now, he got extra run because Steph Curry lasted 14 minutes with a re-aggravation of that shin bruise. It looks unlikely that Steph will play on Monday, from all reports. And they got a back-to-back Monday, Tuesday, so there's a chance he misses a couple more games. Livingston is the guy that I reckon you want to add over Ian Clark. 8 points for Livingston here, 3 assists and 2 blocks. He's just more able to do it in other areas, but not necessarily a must-own guy. There was no Festus Ezeli, there was no Harrison Barnes, there was no Leandro Barbosa in this one as well. So that allowed Clark to get extra run. It allowed Maurice Spates to play 18 minutes and go 8-8. Jason Thompson got 12 minutes. And Andre Iguodala got the start and went 9-3-6 with a 3 and a steal because Brandon Rush was out as well. Iggy should probably be owned in most 12-team leagues, as it is not necessarily your team because he does have some downfalls, but he provides enough value to be owned by someone in a 12-team league. The Philadelphia 76ers just got destroyed by the Clippers. Jahlil Okafor off the bench only 18 minutes, but still scored 23 points. They're still obviously working out their rotations with Noel and Okafor. And Noel had a bit of a fall back to earth here. 13-8 with a block, still not too bad. Definitely not as bad as what he was doing earlier on in the season, but not quite as good as those crazy numbers he's been putting up the last 2 or 3. Ish Smith, another bad night, 2 of 9. Gave you 8 assists and a steal, so still doing enough. The shooting is just really off, and he's not a good shooter, so that is going to happen. TJ McConnell has skipped. Yeah, Kendall Marshall to me. Marshall played 17 minutes here, but McConnell played 19, and he's been playing over him the last week. No points for McConnell, but he did have 7 assists and 3 steals. Not looking at him in 12-team leagues, but I'm just monitoring to see how it goes, especially if Smith continues to struggle, and maybe they start mixing it up a little bit more. Doubt it, but it's possible. Nick Stauskas got hot, 18 points from 6 triples, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists, but you can leave him alone for deeper leagues. And Bob Cove played just 17 minutes. And why he's not continuing to play is baffling to me. It's baffling to plenty of people on Twitter, plenty of people who know the game pretty well as well. I don't really understand why he's getting limited. Carl Andrew is back in the rotation. He played 16 minutes, 11-4 with a couple of steals. He's still a pretty good player and he still has deep league value if he plays. But at this point, we don't know if and when he's going to play because he started off strong, sat a couple of games, back in here. On to the Clippers. They made the right move to me and started Wes Johnson because Chris Paul was out Chris Paul is out for, not Chris Paul, Paul Pierce, sorry, long day. Paul Pierce is out Paul Pierce is out with rest. Wes Johnson was great. 12 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, but it's 4 triples, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. He's a triple one machine, this guy. That's beyond triple one, 4, 4, and 2. That's just a huge night. I don't trust Doc Rivers to actually give him enough run, and that's what would limit me from owning him in a 12-team league. But in a deeper league, absolutely, a 14-team league, you own him and you enjoy these stats that are quite hard to come by. Austin Rivers, I mentioned him earlier, 26 points with 3 triples in 25 minutes. He's cranking it up a notch, but he's probably a deeper league guy as well. DeAndre Jordan, 22-13. He's taking an extra step without Blake Griffin. So is Chris Paul, who went 15-5-14 in just 26 minutes. And JJ Redick hit 4 triples for 16 points in his 24 minutes. And as per usual, the other crap on this bench didn't do anything. Marmute, Prigioni, Stevenson, Crawford, Brandon Dawson got in. Josh Smith even played in this game. That's how much of a blowout it was. All right, we are done with the daily review section of the podcast. I'm going to take a quick break because I need a drink and obviously need to get my head straight after that mismatch of words with Wes Johnson. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Enjoy the music.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know you can't see what I see.
Actually, we're not going to go straight into the DFS stuff. Now, what I wanted to do is give a couple of things. Normally, I do the two-week review of fantasy value, but I haven't done that for the last week. I am going to do it still. What I'm going to do now is have a quick look back at December, the whole month of December, and give out the monstrous line of December, the waiver wire player of December, the young gun of December, and the dud of December. The monstrous player of December is Steph Curry. I think that's pretty clear. He was the best player over the month of December. The waiver wire player of December, Omri Caspi. He only has 60% ownership, yet he was ranked inside the top 50. He clearly has to be owned. Now, I mentioned that earlier that his numbers were dipping a little bit, but still has to be owned. The young gun of December, Karl-Anthony Towns, had a rank of 20 over December. That's pretty straightforward as well. And the dud of December, Al Jefferson. He only played 2 games, but in those 2 games, he ranked 401st on a per-game basis. We know he's out for 6 weeks now, so you can put him in an IR spot, but if you don't have IR, there is zero reason to hold on to Al Jefferson unless you're in a 20-team league or some sort of keeper dynasty format. Al Jefferson might struggle to be a top 100 player next year. So think about that. If you've got 5 keepers, Al Jefferson's not someone to hold on to. I don't think he's going to be back as a top 50 guy. The next thing I need to do now is look at at the last 2 weeks and see what's been happening in fantasy world over the last 2 weeks and who the best players have been and go through that sort of stuff. So let's do that now. The top 20 guys over the last 2 weeks, Damian Lillard is actually the number one player. He's only played 1 game, and it's because that game was a 32-9 game, puts him at number one. So we know that that's not sustainable, those numbers. Number two is actually Ross Westbrook. 3 is Anthony Davis. 4 is Draymond Green. 5 was John Wall. 6 is Kevin Durant. 7 is Hassan Whiteside. 8 is Chris Middleton, which is a bit of a shock. 9 is Kemba Walker. 10 is James Harden. 11, Steph Curry. Bit of a drop-off in the last couple of weeks. The injury obviously hasn't helped. Brook Lopez at 12, Kawhi Leonard at 13, Nerlens Noel at 14, Chris Paul 15, DeAndre Jordan 16, Dwight Howard 17, which I think would shock people, but he's averaging 16 and 11 with 1.2 blocks, 0.9 steals and 75% from the field. So that puts him right up there. CJ McCollum at 18, Paul George at 19, despite his struggles with his shot, and Pau Gasol rounds up the top 20 for the last 2 weeks. The top five rookies over that time, Karl-Anthony Towns is at 26, Porzingis is at 57.
Porzingis.
Yep. Nikola Jokic at 107, D'Angelo Russell 132, and Larry Nance at 135. The top five sophomores, Nerlens Noel at 14, Nikola Mirotic at 74, and for all the shit games that he's had, he's still ranked 74th over the last 2 weeks. It shows that how good he's been able to be in certain games and just chip away little bits of value, but it's still extremely frustrating experience owning Nikola Mirotic. Rod Hood at 77, Bojan Bogdanovic at 93, and TJ Warren at 104. That's the top five sophomores over that time frame. There's just a couple of guys in the rankings for that last 2 weeks that I think is worth bringing attention to. So I'm going to go through a few of those guys now and talk about where they sort of rank and what we do with it. Ricky Rubio is ranked 22nd over the last 2 weeks, only averaging 9.5 points, but it's, you know, four rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 79% from the field. He's doing what he needs to do, and that's something I stress a lot, is if you draft Rubio, you shouldn't worry that he's shooting 30% because you know he's going to shoot 30%, 32%, 38%, whatever, and you deal with it. It's not a big surprise. 25 is Will Barton. That is a big surprise to me completely, but that's where he is now, and he just continues to amaze me. Otto Porter is at 29th over the last 2 weeks. Really thriving since coming back from injury, and with Brad Beal out, he's only owned in 71% of leagues, Otto Porter. Make sure that he's owned. JJ Redick at 39, I highlighted him because we saw last year when Blake Griffin was out, he took himself into the top 50. He's done it again now. It's a pretty standard pattern. 3.6 triples over that time, 18.4 points. He doesn't do much else apart from those, but he's super efficient, a 53% guy from the field and 93% from the free throw line. A couple of guys I've highlighted here. Mallow is at 50 and LeBron is at 51. Hasn't been their strongest stretch of games. Mallow is a guy who does get better as the season goes on. I think LeBron will start to get better as well. So if you can get them with a real low value, I'd be inclined to do it. I don't think you can do it for LeBron, but I reckon you can for Mallow, because I think that people are not, they're very down on Carmelo Anthony. So I think that he's got ability to rise 20, 30 spots in these rankings pretty easily. And if you could get him for a guy who's around at the top 50 value, I'm all for that. Darren Collison is ranked 53rd over the last 2 weeks. I highlighted him because that's in a backup role. And Robin Lopez, for all the stuffing around that Derek Fisher does with his minutes, he's 55th. He's played 27 minutes a game over the last 2 weeks. 6 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, 60% and 80% is his percentages. That's really boosted him up the rankings there as well. LaMarcus Aldridge at 75. I mentioned that because this is not really a buy low opportunity. This is basically who he's going to be. So I don't look at him and go and acquire him because he's going to go back to being a top 20 or 30 player. Brandon Knight is at 84. Maybe people thought he was going to be great when Bledsoe went down, and they might be a bit disappointed. Go and throw an offer there. Klay Thompson at 86, probably hard to get much value back on him. And Reggie Jackson slipped down to 89 as well, and I talked about him a little bit earlier. Great time to get Blake Griffin. His last two games before injury weren't fantastic. He's ranked 114th in his last two games. Toby Harris at 118, he can be better, but I wouldn't be giving up huge amounts to go and get him. Kevin Love at 127, and Jonas Valanciunas at 133. These are guys who should be around the 50 to 60 mark. Love probably a little bit higher than that, but just struggling at the moment. So it's a great opportunity to go and buy on them. Andrew Wiggins is at 193. That's what I talked about earlier with him. Just not a great fantasy guy. Julius Randle at 196. He's only getting 25 minutes a game. He's not a must-own player. Neither is Kyle Korver, who's ranked 200th. Bob Carver at 203 and Trevor Ariza at 202 are guys who I do think can turn it around, but I can understand if you want to drop Covington. I wouldn't be dropping Trevor Ariza though, personally. And Lou Williams, for as well as he looks like he's been playing, over the last 2 weeks, he's ranked 224th. I still think that while he's getting 34-plus minutes, you want to look at holding onto him, but his production hasn't been great lately. Roy Hibbert at 270, highlighted him because he can be moved on from. And Jabari Parker is 272nd over the last 2 weeks. Has not been good, and a lot of that's ACL-related, obviously, but I reckon you can do a lot better than Jabari Parker. Let's go through the top 100 guys and talk about guys who are owned in less than 50% of leagues. JJ Barea at 34. Yep, go back and make sure he's owned with his Williams reoccurrence of his hamstring. Cody Zeller at 56. You've heard me talk too much about him. John Henson at 62. Yeah, that's great, but it's too unpredictable. Jose Calderon, 64. I reckon he should be owned. Austin Rivers at 66. Not so much him. Jeff Withey at 71. He's been putting up great numbers with favours out, but he's got a shelf life on his value, as does Bismack Biyombo at 76. But you know, if you need the rebounds and blocks, while they start to work Valanciunas back in, it's not bad holding on to Biyombo. Rod Hood at 77. Brandon Bass at 81. Yeah, I don't think one really want to be owning Brandon Bass in a standard league. PJ Tucker at 82. He should be owned in more places. Jared Bayless at 88. Not so sure about that. Taj Gibson at 90. Yes, until Noah comes back. Bojan Bogdanovic at 93. Ian Clark at 98. No, I'm not going to own Clark, but Bogdanovic is interesting with Jack potentially being out. I mentioned that earlier on. Kelly Olynyk at 99, he's trending down, and Matt Barnes at 100. I think a lot of people drop Matt Barnes, so I reckon you can make a little bit of value for yourself by going and adding him. All right, that's the seasonal stuff done. Let's talk daily fantasy now. The first game up is the Chicago Bulls and the Toronto Raptors. It is the early game. Kyle Lowry did have an ankle problem, but he is going to play. Derrick Rose has traveled with the team, so he could play. I would be shocked if he did, though, so I think that means we're going to see more Etuan Moore, more Aaron Brooks, and more Kirk Heinrich. The two games that Rose has been out, one was a Brooks game, one was more an Etuan Moore game, so therefore there's no reliability for that in a cash game situation. Bobby Portis at 3,900. He's been really good. 25.7 points across the last three. That shows tremendous value at 3,900, so I reckon you've got to get him in most of your lineups, but I also like Taj Gibson at 5,000. He's been a solid 26 points as well. He sat down the stretch against the Knicks because it was a blowout. I imagine his minutes go up a couple here. So I reckon at 5,000, he's still pretty good value. Don't trust Jonas Valanciunas, even though it is against the Bulls, which is a very easy matchup for centers. The minutes aren't just quite there for him yet. But if there was a game that he was going to get it back going, this would be the one. Pau Gasol, 8,700, that feels too expensive for me. And Nikola Mirotic at 4,700. There is so much intrigue with that, and there is so much appeal, but if he misses the first two shots, he might as well just write it off for the rest of the night. Throw it in a tournament, maybe it works out, because it can work out big time. In his last five games, he's had two games of over 40, yet he's still only averaging 25 points. That's how like up and down he's been. 8,700 for Kyle Lowry. I'm not worried about the ankle. Going against the Bulls point guards is a pretty decent spot for him to go up against. 8,700 is expensive, but there's a big chance that he drops 40 in this game, so I think that I know that I like using him. For the shooting guards, DeMar DeRozan at 8,400, or Jimmy Butler at 8,300. DeRozan's been averaging more than him the last three games, more than him the last five games. The problem with DeRozan here is he's got Butler on him, so does that reduce his output? I think that's enough for me to be a little bit hesitant about using DeRozan. I don't love using Jimmy Butler at 8,300 because he just hasn't really been doing it consistently enough. And the Raptors are pretty good at defending opposition shooting guards. So there is going to be some other shooting guards that we're going to use in preference to these two guys. If Derrick Rose plays, I don't really think we want to get him out there, especially coming off a hamstring. Doug McDermott, Tony Snell, those sort of guys, maybe throw them into a tournament and see how it goes. Same with Luis Scola and Patrick Patterson, who they can get hot, but the predictability of them is pretty low. The Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks. The Hawks are favored by 4.5 points. The total is 203.5. Lou Amundsen is questionable with the back, but we don't really care about that. And Thiago Splitter is doubtful with that troublesome calf. He misses a lot of time with that calf injury. I like Jeff Teague against Jose Calderon at 6,400. Teague put up 40 in the last game. He's averaging 35 across the last five. I think that he's one of the better point guard options on the board. But I also like Jose Calderon. The Hawks give up quite a lot to point guards. He's been sneakily giving you value. He's really cheap at 4,100. A 23-point average across the last five. He's had, in the last five games, he's had two 30-point games as well. So I think that Jose Calderon has some value in a pretty decent matchup. Kristaps Porzingis. At 6,200? Yeah, nah, I don't think so. The matchup is nice for him, but he just hasn't been feeling it. So, look, he's got every chance to break out. He has had a 47-point game in his last five, so that's pretty appealing. But you just don't feel like there's enough consistency there for a cash game. Aaron Aflalo at 4,600? Yeah, forget about it. He put up 3 points in his last game. He's just not good. And I have to say the same for Kyle Korver at the moment. 4,000 for him? No thanks. Al Horford at 7,200 has been flying lately, a 40-point average across his last three. He's someone that you can look to use. Kent Bazemore at 5,700. Yeah, I think Kent Bazemore is worth a look. Got to get you 28. If he gets you 30 points at 5,700, that's over 5x value, so there's enough there. And Carmelo Anthony at 8,600. Bazemore's not going to really be able to shut him down. I think that Mallow's in line for a 40-point night here. So is Paul Millsap. At 8,700, he's been flying. 47.6 average across his last three. He dropped 52 in the last game. He's been playing very well this season. This is not a difficult matchup for him. Robin Lopez, this is the sort of matchup where I think where Lopez gets minimized, as the Hawks are not an overly big team. So I reckon that he is probably going to be in that lower minutes range. I think I'll steer clear of using him. The next game, the Washington Wizards and the Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 4 points. Oh, no, they're not. It's actually a pick'em. There you go. It's a pick'em. The total is 198.5. Justice Winslow looks like he'll be back from his ankle sprain. Josh McRoberts is out. And on the Wizards side of things, Chris Humphries is questionable with, they don't even say what he's questionable with, which is odd. And Gary Neal has been ruled out as well. What does that mean fantasy-wise? Garrett Temple at 4,100. The minutes will probably be there, but the production hasn't been there, and I don't love it against the Heat. What I do like is Marcin Gortat at 7,100. I think that he's in for a great spot. Ramon Sessions has been just super consistent. Just keep saying it. It's 23 points for him every night. Now, his salary's gone up to 4,200, but I don't hate using him because he's getting minutes. Kelly Oubre at 3,500. He's a punt player for a tournament. He's been playing decently, but hasn't translated to fantasy stats. So I think I'll probably leave him alone, but I love Otto Porter at 6,000. Put up 47 in the last game, a 38 average across his last three. Really taking on extra responsibility with no Brad Beal at 6,000. He's a pretty good play. 7,500 for Chris Bosh. I don't really enjoy that too much. 7,400 for Dwayne Wade. Hopefully he's over his flu. And it's an easier matchup against the Wizards, so I'm okay with using him at 7,400. He could easily give us 35 or 40 points, so he's a good one to look at. Hassan Whiteside at 7,500, I think he's also a pretty good guy to look at. He's been getting 30 minutes in, I think, his last five or six games. He's been producing big numbers, a 37 average across the last three, dropped 46 in the last game. This is a good spot to use him, I think. John Wall, 10,200. Miami does defend point guards well, but he's been pretty irrepressible. So do you think John Wall can get 50? I think there's a pretty good chance he gets at least 47 or 48. So I don't hate using him as a high-priced point guard. I think there's definitely some upside with him. And 5,900 for Goran Dragic. Yeah, look, it's not completely out of the question, but I don't love using him against John Wall. The Portland Trailblazers and the Denver Nuggets. No spread for this one yet. Obviously, we don't know the status of Kenneth Faried. I would say that Faried is going to be out of this one. That would be my guess. Darrell Arthur at 3,500 becomes a guy that you look at in a tournament. Definitely worth a look, because we've seen earlier this season that when Faried is out and Arthur gets big minutes, he starts to go huge basically and put up some crazy sort of numbers. So he's someone that we can definitely have a look at, I think, and get into. There's definitely some tournaments, maybe not some cash games, because there is the prospect of Nikola Jokic playing or Joffrey Lavernier playing as well. All those guys, they look appealing, but it's just very risky for a cash game situation. I like Myers Leonard at 4,300. He's been playing a lot better, and the Nuggets aren't a great defensive team. He's worth it, worth a squiz. 6,700 for Danilo Gallinari. Put up 38 in his game back. I don't think we're too worried about his ankle now. So I'm sort of relatively comfortable getting him out there, but not a must-play guy by any stretch. Mason Plumlee should play. He was dealing with some gastroenteritis, so he should be back at 5,400. I'm not really sure I want to get him out there. Don't think we're going to see Emmanuel Mudiay in this one. Damian Lillard, also a game-time call. So if Lillard's out, then obviously CJ McCollum at 8,400. I love CJ at 8,400 anyway, but if Lillard's out, he's a must-play guy. And I think 7,200 for Will Barton. The salary's up, but he's still exceeding value. So those two guys are guys who you're going to find on stacks of rosters, but in a cash game, you're pretty much going to have to get them in there, because we know that they can just go for 40 or 45 or 50, and that can leave a real big hole in your lineup if you don't have them in there. Jimmy Nelson, Mudiay doesn't play at 5,000. He's one of the guys that I think is almost a must play, especially against going up against CJ McCollum, who's not a great defensive sort of player. The last game of the night is the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Lakers. This could get ugly in terms of both teams just being bad. Kobe Bryant's missed the last game with a shoulder issue. He's questionable again heading into this one, but most of the value sides on the Phoenix side of things. 4,600 for TJ Warren with a 32.5 point average across his last three. Devin Booker at 36, who dropped 34 in the last game and now gets the Lakers defense, and Brandon Knight at 6,500, who had 39 in the last game and also against the Lakers defense. I could see you putting all three of those guys into a lineup. Lou Williams at 5,300 said his standard league value hasn't been great, but his recent DFS value has been. He's 30.4 average across his last three, and at 5,300, that's worth looking at, especially if Kobe is out. I'm all for using him. I don't want to use Kobe at 6,900, even if he plays. The Phoenix big men, Tyson Chandler, Alex Len, John Lua, it's too risky to run any of them out there. And 4,300 for PJ Tucker, I reckon you can use him with a little bit of confidence as well. I think he gets 30-plus minutes. And a bit of a quiet game today in the blowout against the Kings, but they do really value what he's done. And after a really disappointing start to the season, he's picked his play back up. So I think that he is worth considering. D'Angelo Russell, the minutes are just too fluctuable for me to get him in there at 5,100, but I can understand it in a tournament. And 4,000 for Larry Nance, he's playing super well, and that's not a bad play. He could be a 25-point guy, and he seems to be doing career highs almost every game that he plays. So Larry Nance is someone that I'm not sure too many people will be getting into their roster, but you can look at him, and I think that there's some sneaky value, as there is for Brandon Bass at 3,800, who's basically been a 20-point guy recently, and at 3,800, that's some solid value. All right, guys, we are done for today. Let's bring up the DFS best plays, or what I hope is the best plays, for tomorrow. Jose Calderon, 4,100. Brandon Knight, 65. And John Wall, 10,200. At shooting guard, Devin Booker, 3,600. Will Barton, 72. And CJ McCollum, 84. And McCollum obviously gets a bigger bump if Lillard is out. At small forward, TJ Warren, 46. Otto Porter at 6,000. And Carmelo Anthony at 8,600. Power forwards, Bobby Portis at 3,900. Taj Gibson at 5,000, I was going to say. Taj Gibson at 5,000. And Paul Millsap at 8,700. And the centers, Myers Leonard, a nice cheap option at 43, Marcin Gortat at 71, and Hassan Whiteside at 7,500. We are done for today, guys. Make sure you're checking out subscribing to the podcast on iTunes and on YouTube. It's great if you can do that, and it's also awesome if you can leave a review. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Basketball Monster is Basque Monster, and the website is basketballmonster.com, and I encourage you to go and check out everything we've got going on over there. Matt Smith just put up his Week 11 schedule analysis article, so you can check that out. Going to have an exciting new sponsor to announce on tomorrow's podcast to get you guys some extra value, so I'm looking forward to doing that. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.
Great success.